This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We learned from the previous verses that the Bani Israel, they were saved from the torture, from the persecution of Fir'aun, and they were made to cross the Red Sea under the leadership of Musa a.s. And once they crossed the Red Sea, Fir'aun and his al, they were drowned in the sea, and the Bani Israel were saved, ended up in the desert of Sinai. In the desert of Sinai. In the Sinai Peninsula. And they stayed in this desert for about 40 years. And in this desert, while they were there, there was no food. Obviously, they're in the middle of the desert. What food is going to grow there? Similarly, there was no place beneath which they could take some shelter. And similarly, there was no water. In the verses before, we read that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shaded upon them with clouds to give them shelter and to cool them in the midst of the desert. And He also sent upon them man and salwa. He also sent upon them food from the sky, from up above, from the heavens, prepared food for which they had to do nothing. And now, in the following verses, we learn about how the Bani Israel were also provided with fresh water in the middle of the desert. And in these verses, we will also study the reaction or the behavior of the Bani Israel in response to all of these blessings which they were given. We have read several times in this surah about gratitude, about expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is done from the heart, the tongue, as well as a person's actions, in which a person is grateful to Allah. How? By being more obedient to Him. So we will see in these verses how the Bani Israel responded to the blessings that they were given. وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى. And recall when Musa a.s. sought water, when he prayed for water. For who? لِقَوْمِهِ, for his people. وَإِذْ, and when, meaning وَذْكُرُوا يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلُ. O Bani Israel, also remember this huge favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, upon your forefathers. وَإِذْ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى. Remember this favor as well, when Musa alayhi salam prayed for water. The word istasqa is from the root letters Sin, Qaf, Ya. If you look at the word istasqa, it has two Sin in it. It has two Sin in it. One Sin is a part of the root, and the other is, it gives the meaning of seeking. So, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى. It is from the root letter Sin, Qaf, Ya, and Saqi means to drink. Suqya, to drink, or to give to drink, to make someone drink. And istasqa is to ask for a drink, to request for a drink, to pray for a drink. You may have heard suqya zamzam. What is suqya zamzam? The place of drinking zamzam, right? Similarly, you also may have heard of Salatul Istisqa. What is Salatul Istisqa? The Salah in which people pray for, or after which people pray for, rain. So Istisqa is to pray for water, to ask for water, to request for water. So Musa alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for water. For who? For the Bani Israel. Because they were in the middle of the desert, and they suffered from thirst, and they had no way of obtaining water, fresh water, for themselves. And as for istisqa, it is to pray for water, to request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with water. And this is done by performing salah, meaning people, they together they perform salah, and afterwards they make dua, and it's also done just by making dua. For example, we learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu, that a man entered the mosque on Friday while the Prophet ﷺ was addressing the people. The man said, "O Messenger of Allah, our wealth has been destroyed, and we have no transport to the marketplace. Supplicate for us for rain. Pray for us for rain." The Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and he said, "Allahumma aghithna. O Allah, give us rain. O Allah, give us rain. O Allah, give us rain." So we see over here that there was no special salah that was performed, but he just made dua right there at that particular time. Anas radiallahu anhu said that by Allah, at that time, there were no clouds in the sky, and there was no house or building between us and the mountain that would prevent them from seeing the sky. From behind the mountain came a cloud looking like a shield. By the time it reached the middle of the sky, it burst and started to rain. So literally they saw the clouds approaching and they saw rain coming down. By Allah, we did not see the sun for 1 week. The entire sky was covered with clouds and it was raining continuously and they did not see the sun for an entire week. Then on the next Friday, a man entered the mosque from that same door while the Prophet ﷺ was making the address. The man faced the Prophet and he said, "Our livestock is dead and the paths are unpassable." Why? Because of the rain. So the man faced the Prophet and he said, "Our livestock is dead and the paths are unpassable. Ask Allah to make it stop." The Prophet ﷺ raised his hands and he said, "Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna." He did not say that, "O Allah, stop this rain." But what did he say? "O Allah, around us and not upon us. Send the rain, not directly upon us, but around us. O Allah, make it upon the hills, small mountains, bottom of the valleys, and plantations." Anas radiallahu anhu said that the rain stopped and we walked out in the sunshine. We walked out in the sunshine. So this is what istisqa is. To pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for water. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us with water through rain that comes down upon us. And over here, how were the Bani Israel provided water? Through springs that gushed forth. So وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. And the word قَوْم, as we discussed yesterday, it is from the root letters قَافْ وَالْمِ. And the word قَوْم is used for a group of people who are joined together by their family lineage, meaning they share the same lineage, they are of the same race, they belong to the same country, the same land. So this is what a قَوْم is. Who was the قَوْم of Musa alayhi salam? The Bani Israel. Why are they called his qawm? Because he shared his lineage with them. Right? They were of the same race. They were of the same people. So Musa alayhi salam prayed for his people. فَقُلْنَا, so we said. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, اِضْرِبْ, you strike. اِضْرِبْ is from بَرَبَ, بَضْرَبَ, which literally means to strike one thing with another. So Musa alayhi salam was commanded to strike bi'asaka, with your staff, al-hajara, the rock, the stone. He was told to strike the stone with his staff. This is the same staff that Musa alayhi salam threw in the sea, after which the sea parted into two. The word asa is from the root letters ayn, sad, ya. It is from the root letters Ayn, Saad, Ya. An asa is used for a rod or a stick, a staff. But it's not just any stick. It's not just any rod. It is used for a shepherd's staff. It is used for the staff, the rod of a shepherd, which is very thick and it's also very strong. It's thick and it's also very strong. And when we think of the word staff, or a rod or a stick that a person has, we think of, you know, the staff that is used by the elderly or by the weak to help them, to assist them in walking. That particular staff is called minsa'ah. It's a different word. Okay? Asa in particular is used for a staff that is thick, it is strong, and it is a multi-purpose staff. Meaning it's not just used for assisting someone with walking, but it is used for many, many things. When Musa a.s. went up to the Mount Tur, not knowing that he would be addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over there, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him and made him a messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa a.s., what is in your hand? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your hand, O Musa? And Musa a.s. didn't just say, it's my staff. It's just a stick that I'm holding. Musa a.s. replied, it's mentioned in Surah Taha, ayah number 18, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى. He said, it is my staff. I lean upon it, and I bring down leaves for my sheep. Because he was a shepherd. So he would use his staff to bring down the leaves from the trees. And he said that I have therein many other uses as well. So asa is not just a stick that a person leans on or that a person uses to help him when he's walking, when he's climbing, but it's a multi-purpose stick. And the staff of Musa a.s., it was a very special staff. And through the staff, many miracles were performed. Many miracles were performed by Musa a.s. through the staff. And four major miracles that we are aware of are, first of all, that when he threw the staff, it would turn into a snake. And when he would pick it up, it would return to its original form of being a staff. Another great miracle that was performed with the staff was in the competition with the magicians. Right? When Musa a.s. threw his staff, and the magicians also, they had thrown their sticks and their ropes, and the snake of Musa a.s., which was actually the staff was changed into the snake, what did it do? It swallowed, it ate up all of the sticks and the ropes, meaning the snakes of the magicians. Another great miracle that was performed by the staff was that the sea was struck with the staff and it parted into two. The sea was parted into two. It was split up. And another major miracle that was performed through the staff was the one that is mentioned over here in this verse. That Musa a.s. was commanded to strike the rock with his staff, and what happened? 12 springs gushed forth out of the rock. So we said, اضرب بعصاك الحجر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa a.s. to strike the stone with his staff. The word hajar is from the root letters ha, jim, ra. Ha, jim, ra. Hajar. The word hajar literally is used for something that is very hard or something that prevents. It is also used for mind. The hijr. It is also used for mind, for intellect. Why? Because the mind also prevents us from doing that which is incorrect. And sometimes people are very strong-headed, isn't it? No matter how much you try to explain to them, no matter how much you try to convince them, they don't move from their position. Right? So hijr is also used for rock. Over here the word is hajar, and rocks are called hajar. Why? Because of their resistance, because of their hardness. So اضرب بعصاك الحجر. Now the question is, which stone was this? Which stone was this? We know about the staff, but which stone was this that Musa a.s. was commanded to strike? We are not told exactly which stone it was from the Quran or the Sunnah. Allahu A'lam, which stone it was. Whatever type of stone it was, whatever its size was, whatever its color was, whatever its shape was, all of these details were not been given. All that we've been told is that Musa a.s. was told to hit the stone with his staff. And he did so. And as a result, what happened? فَانْفَجَرَتْ. Then it gushed forth. What gushed forth? مِنْهُ. From it, meaning from the rock, gushed forth. اِثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنَا. 12 springs gushed forth from the rock. The word infajarat is from the root letters fa, jim, ra. Fa, jim, ra. Remember that the noon over here is not part of the root. Okay? It's not part of the root. The noon in the word, it's not part of the root. The root letters are fa, jim, ra. What does fajr mean? Huh? What does fajr mean? Morning? Dawn. Daybreak. Right? What happens at daybreak? The sky, which is covered with darkness, what happens to it? The light, it bursts through it. Have you heard of the expression crack of dawn? Why is it called the crack of dawn? Because the entire horizon, there's literally a crack through which it gradually grows and the light enters and the morning comes and the night recedes. So fajara literally means to split something apart. What does fajara mean? To split something apart and cause it to burst at a large scale. To cause it to burst at a large scale. Fajr is called fajr. Why? Because the entire horizon, the entire sky is burst with the morning light. So over here, in fajarat, what does it mean? It gushed out. It exploded. It erupted. What erupted? From the stone, 12 springs. The word ithnata, ashrata. Ashra is from Ayn Shinra. And you may have heard of the word, the last ashra of the month of Ramadan, which is very special. So ithnata ashra, 12 springs. The word ayn is from the root letters ayn ya noon. Ayn ya noon. And ayn is used for a spring, a source from which water is coming out. And the word ayn is also used for eyes. It is also used for eyes. When you think of the eye and the spring, what's similar between the two? From eyes, tears come forth, and from a spring, water gushes forth. Right? So, ithnata ashrata ayna, 12 springs. Now the question is, why 12 springs? Because the Bani Israel were 12 tribes. Remember, Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons. And from those 12 sons, their descendants were formed into 12 tribes. So Musa alayhi salam struck the stone, and as a result, 12 springs gushed forth out of the stone for all of the tribes. Allah says, قَدْ عَلِمَ. In fact, He knew. Who knew? كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ. Every people. What did they know? مَشْغَبَهُمْ. Their drinking place. Every people, meaning every tribe, knew which was their drinking place, meaning which particular spring was theirs. Because there were 12 springs, right? So every people knew, every tribe knew, which particular spring was theirs. The word qad, this is new. The word qad gives a meaning of certainly, indeed. And it generally comes before a verb. Like alima, he knew. Alima is a verb. And when it comes before a verb, it gives confirmation to the action. It gives emphasis to the action that has been done. So qad alima, certainly, indeed, in fact, he knew. Who knew? Kullu unasin, every people. The word unas is from the root letters nun waw seen and hamza nun seen and nun seen ya. I think I should put this in the test. What do you say? Hamza nun seen ya, and nun waw seen. You've written all of this before. So every people knew about their drinking place. The word mashrab is from the root letters sheen ra ba. What does sharab mean? Drink. Sharab means drink. So mashrab is a place of drinking. Now I told you before that the word begins with a meme. And the meme indicates that the word is a noun. Which type of noun is it? This particular noun, you see, it sounds different from mufsid or muhsin or mu'min. Mu'min, muhsin, muslim. All of these words, they sound similar. isn't it? So Muslim, Muhsin, Mu'min, these are what? One who is doing the action. And over here what you see is Mashrab. There's a fatha on the meme. Mashrab. The word Mashrab indicates the place and time where a particular action is done. Where a particular action is done. What? The place or time where a particular action is done. So Mashrab is the place of drinking, or it is the time of drinking. And this particular word, it is called Zarf in Arabic. It is called Zarf. Zarafa. Okay? Ism Zarf. It's the place or time of doing an action. So every tribe knew, each tribe of the Bani Israel knew about their drinking place and also their drinking time. Because the word Mashrab doesn't just mean drinking place. It also means drinking time. Why? Why was it necessary for every tribe to know which spring is theirs and which time is for them to take their drinking turn? Why is that important? Why is that important? Just imagine, if all of them came at the same time to drink, what would happen? Such a huge crowd. And people would begin to fight. People would begin to argue. And especially if the springs were not allotted, then what would happen? People would say, this is ours. Or this is ours. This is not yours. This is mine. So it was all specified for the purpose of organization, and also so that people would not develop animosity or hatred or rivalry between themselves. Then Allah says, Kulu, all of you eat. Meaning the Bani Israel were told, all of you eat, washrabu, and also you drink. Does this mean that they had to eat and they had to drink even if they didn't want to? Kulu washrabu, it's a command. This command is for permission. Meaning you may eat and you may drink. It doesn't mean you have to eat, you have to drink even if you don't feel like it. This kind of command is called the amr of ibaha, of permissibility. So eat the man and salwa and drink the water. So eat and drink mir rizqillah, from provision of Allah. What is rizq? Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. So eat and drink of the provision of Allah. وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ, and do not commit wickedness, do not commit abuse in the earth as ones who create fasad. The word ta'athaw is from the root letters عَيْن سَا وَاو or عَيْن سَا يَا. عَيْن سَا وَاو or عَيْن سَا يَا. The word عُثُو or عُثِي or عِثِي means to create fasad. What does it mean? To create disorder. To cause disaster. But how is this different from fasad? In two ways. First of all, this word is used for being very quick and fast in creating fasad. Being very quick and fast in causing disaster, in creating havoc. So what is it? To be very fast, very quick, very speedy in making fasad. And also, the word ithi or ithu conveys the meaning of fasad that is intangible. Fasad that is intangible. So you can say intellectual fasad or mental fasad, social fasad. Okay? Fasad in the family, in relationships. So Allah says, لَا تَعْثَوْ. Do not commit abuse. Do not be wicked. How? By doing fasad quickly. By being very quick in doing fasad, in disobeying Allah. Fil ardi, in the earth, mufsideen, as ones who do mischief. So mufsideen is describing the state of those who do ithi or uthu. Do not commit abuse as those who do fasad. And remember that fasad is done how? How is it done? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasad is done how? By disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they were given the man and salwa, what were they told? Do not store any of it. So if they were to store any of it, that would be disobeying Allah. Similarly, they were to eat and drink all of it and be grateful to Allah. So if they were ungrateful, what would that be? Disobedience to Allah. So all of this would be fasad. So they were told, eat and drink, and do not commit abuse on the earth by being disobedient to Allah. By being ungrateful to Allah for these blessings that you have been given, for this fresh water that you have been given. So what do we learn from this ayah? What do we learn from this ayah? What are the different lessons that we learn? First of all, water is a big blessing. Water is a big blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if they had Man and Salwa in the desert and they didn't have water. Could they survive? Could they survive? No. Would they enjoy Man and Salwa? No matter how nice and warm and fresh and delicious it would be. Could they really enjoy it without water? No. Water is essential. It's a big blessing. Also we learn that when we need water, what should we do? Istasqa. We should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for water. We should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for water. And we see that this was the way of Musa alayhi salam, and this was also the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Musa alayhi salam, they're prophets. They are making dua to Allah for water. Why shouldn't we? If we need water or something else. So when we need water, what should we do? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we learn from the hadith that I mentioned to you of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if there is too much water, we shouldn't say, oh Allah, just stop. We shouldn't complain. But rather, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna. Right? Also we learn from this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fulfills all of our needs. He is the one who responds to our du'as, who fulfills our needs. Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything, even if it is only a shoelace. Because if Allah does not make it easy, then it will not be possible. When we're thirsty, we're like, okay, why make du'a? I mean, you can just simply go to the kitchen and get water for yourself. Or if you're outside, you can just stop at a convenience store, stop at the gas station, buy a bottle of water. But she said, make dua to Allah. Why? Because if Allah does not make it easy, then it will not be possible. How about you go there, and you want to get water, and you don't have change. Or they're out of water. Or you realize you have no cash, and they don't accept credit card or debit card. What are you going to do? The other day I went to a particular place, and we walked all the way, and we got everything, and I opened my wallet and I realized I didn't have any cash. So I took my card out, and they're like, we don't accept any cards. And I was like, it was only something that was worth $2 or $3. But if Allah does not make it easy for you, then what happens? You're not going to get it. So even for little things, even if it's something as small as a bottle of water, as a glass of water, as a shoelace, what should we do? Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way of the prophets. Allah says in Surah An-Naml, ayah number 62, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Is he not best who responds to the desperate one when he calls upon him and removes evil? Who is the one who responds to the call? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we learn from this ayah that the messengers of Allah, even they make dua to Allah. Because they are also dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are also in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam prayed to Allah. What else do we learn? I want you to think as well. It's very important to keep order. They were given 12 springs for proper order and organization. And this shows us the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He created more space for people. Right? Drinking turn and drinking place. All of this was fixed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made space for them. It wasn't that all of them were to go at one time and whoever gets water gets it, whoever doesn't get it, too bad. No. This was done so that there would be no rivalry. There would be no animosity. So what do we learn from this? That space is needed. We need to give space to people. Because if we don't, then it affects our relationships. if we interfere with people with regards to their personal affairs, with regards to their personal needs, then what happens? What happens? Relationships get affected. You see, over here, they were not cooking their food. Okay? They only went there to get their water. That's it. A simple thing as water. They weren't cooking their food. Right? So, we learn that people need to be given their space, especially when it comes to fulfilling personal needs as food and water. I visited this place once. Basically, it was in Bangladesh, where we went to a particular place at somebody's house, and they had an entire area for their servants. And my parents, they wanted us to go see that particular place, to see what poverty is like, what kind of conditions people live in. And it was a very small area where three families of the servants, they lived over there. So the men, they worked, and the women, they used to live over there with the children. And each had one room to themselves, but the kitchen was only one room. And the kitchen was very interesting. It was divided into three parts. Because there were three families, so the kitchen was divided into three parts. And believe me, one part was smaller than this desk that you see. But it had a stove, a pot, and a few dishes. And I asked them, why make such small kitchens for these women? They said, because before, when there was only one kitchen, they would fight. Women need their space. People need their space, especially when it comes to fulfilling personal needs. They went there to drink water, not cook their food. We need to give space to other people. Because if we do not give space, what happens? It affects the relationships. So many times we hear about a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law never getting along. Why? But daughter-in-law wants to cook in another way, mother-in-law wants to cook in another way, and there the animosity begins and it never comes to an end. Look at the wisdom of Allah. The Bani Israel, they're all related, but the water, where they get it from, it's all divided up. Everybody knows where they get their water from. Why? So that they can have their space. So that it doesn't affect their relationships. So that it keeps them bonded together. It doesn't mean that you have to be completely cut off. That's not what the meaning is. But just give a little bit of space to the other person. We listen to the recitation of the first ayah and then we'll continue.
وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبْ بِعَصَاكَ الْحَجَرَ فَانْفَجَرَتْ مِنْهُ اثْنَتَا عَشْرَةَ عَيْنًا قَدْ عَلِمَ كُلُّ أُنَاسٍ مَّشْرَبَهُمْ كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِن رِّزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ.
So we were discussing the lessons that we learn from this ayah. Another lesson that we learn from this ayah is the compassion and mercy that Musa alayhi salam had for his people. Because we learn from the ayah, وَإِذِ اسْتَسْقَى مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. He prayed for water for who? For his people. Because they were in the desert and they were thirsty and they needed water. So he made dua for them. So it shows the kindness and compassion that Musa alayhi salam had for his people, that he made dua for the fulfillment of their needs. And we also learn from this that a leader, they should realize the needs of those who are under them. We should realize, we should look at the needs of those who are under us, whether they are our children or people who are working under us, in any way, in any capacity. We should consider the needs of those who are under us. Also we learn from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do whatever He wants. He told Musa alayhi salam to strike the staff onto the stone. And as a result, what came out? 12 springs. Does that generally happen? It doesn't generally happen. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to happen, He is able to do so. Also we learn about the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He responded to the prayer, to the dua of Musa alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, when one of you asks something from Allah, then let him be plentiful in what he asks for. For indeed, he is asking his Lord. And this hadith is mentioned in Ibn Hibban. What does the hadith tell us? That when you make dua, make sure that you make the dua properly. Don't just say, oh Allah, just give me one of this thing. He prayed for water for not just himself, but for the entire nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. He is our Rabb. He is the one who answers our du'as. So if we have something that needs to be fulfilled, if we have a need, who do we ask? Allah. And don't feel shy when making du'a of Allah. If He can cause springs to gush forth out of a rock, can He not grant your du'a? Of course He can. It's about how sincere we are in making our du'as. Also we learn from this ayah that the water that gushed forth from the rock, it was a special miracle that was given to Musa alayhi salam. If you think about it, Musa alayhi salam prayed for water and Allah told him, strike the rock with your staff. And then as a result, the water is going to gush forth. Could the water not gush forth without him having struck the rock? Of course. At the time of Nuh alayhi salam, what happened? Did he have to strike anything with his staff? No. The water came down from the heavens, it erupted from the earth, and there was a huge flood. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, the same thing could have happened. But He made this happen through Musa alayhi salam. Why? To prove to His people, to show to the Bani Israel that He is your leader. He is indeed the messenger of Allah. It also shows the obedience of Musa alayhi salam. He was told, hit the rock, and he did it. He did it. Because it was the command of Allah. Sometimes you might say, but it doesn't make sense. How am I going to get water out from the rock? How is that going to happen? Sometimes things don't seem to be logical. But if it is the command of Allah, لا ريب فيه, this is the book in which there is no doubt, whatever Allah tells us, there is khair in it for us, just do it. And you will see benefit. Because He is Allah, and we are abd. We are His slaves. What else do we learn from this ayah? What else have you learned? كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. What do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? When we are given some blessings, we should use them, we should enjoy them, and we should not forget to thank Allah for them. And part of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing is being obedient to Allah, not being disobedient to Allah. Next time. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى. And remember when you said, O Musa. Meaning remember, O Bani Israel, the time when you said to Musa alayhi salam that لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. We are never going to have patience on just one kind of food. Remember when you said to your prophet, to your leader, that we can never be patient on just one type of food, on just one food. When did they say this? When they were in the Sinai Peninsula, when they were in the desert, in the wilderness. So they said, we are never going to have patience over one type of food. The word nasbira is from sabr, sawatbara. What's the meaning of the word sabr? To control oneself. Sabr means to control oneself. It is habsun nafs. Basically, sabara means to bind, to chain, to fetter, to put under a lock. For example, it is said sabara dabba. Remember the word dabba? Dabba to shukur. What is a dabba? An animal. Right? So sabara dabba is to tie an animal. Because sabr is to control, to fetter, to bind, to chain. So sabr al-dabba is to tie an animal without giving it any food or drink. Without giving it any food or water. Why? Why did the Arabs do this? They would do it to train their animals for battle. They would do this in order to train their animals for battle and also for the long journeys that they would have to undertake through the desert. Because by being hungry, by staying hungry, they would develop endurance. Just imagine an animal that is tied up and it doesn't have any food or any water. When it gets hungry, what is it going to do? What is it going to do? It is going to try to release itself. It is going to wrestle with what? With the rope that it's tied with, isn't it? And sometimes what animals do is that if they're tied around a rope, around a pole or a tree, they begin to walk around it in search of some food. So basically the animal is tied and it is not able to go anywhere else. This is what sabr is. That you control yourself on that which may seem impossible, which may seem very difficult. But you tell yourself that no, I am not going to say this, I am not going to do this. You tie yourself. And literally, you know, at the time of anger, you feel as if you're going to erupt. There's like a storm going on inside. And you just want to say whatever is coming to your mind. And you want to shout it out. And you want to show that you don't care about the other person. But what is sabr? But you tie yourself. No, I'm not going to do anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. I'm not going to say anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. So sabr is to control yourself. So they said, لَن نَصْبِرَ. We are never going to have patience. We are never going to endure. We're never going to put up with. We're never going to remain content over what? عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ. Over just one food. The word ta'am is from the root letters, ta'aymin. And the word ta'am, when we think of the word food, we think of something that is solid. But the word ta'am is not just used for that which is solid. It can also be applied to a drink or a liquid, water, because it is food. So basically it is any kind of food. So we're not going to survive on just one type of food. What are they referring to? Man and salwa. They say one food, but what were they given? Man and salwa. This is what happens when a person is negative. And he doesn't even see the obvious. He doesn't even see the blessings that he has. He thinks he has very little, whereas in reality, he has much more than that. He says, I don't have this, I only have this, whereas in reality, he has more than that. So they said, we're never going to put up with just one food. So why did they do that? Because they wanted something else. They said, فَدْعُوا. So you pray, لَنَا for us, رَبَّكَ, your Lord. فَدْعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ. So pray for us to your Lord. The word udru is from the root letters dal, ayn, waw. The word dua is from the same root. What does dua mean? Supplication, prayer. Literally it means to call out. And then it's also used for prayer. So they say to Musa alayhi salam, fadu'u lana rabbak, pray for us to your Lord. Notice rabbak, your Lord. They don't say rabbana. Our Lord. What does it show? Their arrogance, and also as if they have completely disassociated themselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's your Lord. He's your Lord. Pray for us to your Lord. Not our Lord, your Lord. As if they have nothing to do with Him. So pray to Him that yukhrij lana, He should bring out for us. Yukhrij is from kharaja, kharajim. He should bring out for us mimma, from that which تُمْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ. The earth grows. The word تُمْبِتُ is from نُون بَاتَ. نُون بَاتَ. And نَبْت is when something grows, when something sprouts out of the earth. Primarily the word is used for the growing of plants, vegetation. So مِمَّا تُمْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ. What the earth grows, what does the earth grow? They want specifically مِمْ بَقْلِهَا, of its herbs. So pray to your Lord for us that He should give to us what the earth grows of its baql, of its qitha, of fum, adas, and basal. The word baql is from ba, qaf, lam. It is from the root letters ba, qaf, lam. And the word baql is used for all kinds of vegetable plants that don't have stems. That don't have stems. For example, tomatoes, what do they grow on? On a plant that has a stem, right? Buckle does not apply to tomatoes. Okay? It applies to those vegetable plants that don't have a stem. Or the stem is a part of the vegetable. For example, salad leaves. herbs, spinach. Carrots are under the ground. This is the stem, which is part of the vegetable, which forms the entire leaf, and the vegetable is eaten as a whole. So basically, it applies to leafy vegetables, leafy greens, herbs. Some say that in particular it refers to spinach or rupini. So they wanted leafy greens, vegetables, salads, man and salwa. It is said that it will be sent for them, prepared from the sky. It will be sent down upon them. How exactly? Allahu a'lam. We don't know. But they were given the food prepared. It came prepared, fully cooked, ready to be served. Everything was done. So they said, we want what the earth produces of buckle, of green herbs, of leafy vegetables, leafy greens. From the same root, baqaflam is the word baqala, which is used for a grocery store. And they also wanted qifa. Qifa is from the root letters qaf, tha, wow. Qaf, tha, wow. And the word literally means to eat something that makes a crunching sound. To eat something that makes a crunching sound while a person eats it. So basically, when you eat it. You can hear the person eating it. What comes to your mind? Crisps? Chips? But this is some vegetable. Okay? Like for example, cucumbers, or carrots, apples, celery. So but qitha in particular is used for cucumbers. So they said, we want leafy greens, we want crunchy and juicy cucumbers, and we also want wafumiha, and it's garlic. The word fum is from the root letters fa, wow, mean, and fum is understood in two ways. First of all, it has been said that the verb fama, which is from the same root, it means to make bread, to bake bread. So fum is bread. And in the language of the Banu Hashim was the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ, the clan of the Prophet ﷺ, a part of Quraysh. They use the word fum for wheat. They use the word fum for wheat. And they would also use the word fum for any other grain from which bread could be baked. You have spelt bread today. You have so many different types of bread from different types of grains, right? So fum can apply to any kind of grain from which bread can be made. So this is one meaning of the word fum. Others say that the word fum is actually thum. It is actually thum with a tha, which is used for garlic. So they said we want garlic, or we want bread. Wa'adasiha, and it's lentils. Adas is from the root letters ayn, dal, seen. And adas is used for lentils. The word adsa, which is from the same root, is used for a lens. A lens. Just imagine glasses or lenses. In their shape, they look like lentils. Right? Back lentils, they look like them. So they said, we want garlic, we want fum, and we also want adas, and we also want wabasaliha, and it's onion. Basal is from the root letters ba, sad, lam. Ba, sad, lam. And basala literally means to strip the bark off of a tree. To strip off the bark of a tree. So basically it gives the meaning of peeling something. It gives the meaning of peeling something, peeling a layer off of something. And the word basal is used for onions. Because onions, if you think of it, they're made of several layers. Right? So they said, we are not satisfied with just one type of food. We want vegetables and cucumbers and garlic and lentils and onions and wheat. So basically, what are they asking for? A variety. They were being given quality. And they wanted quantity. The food that they were sent, it was much more delicious. It was much more nutritious. It was much more beneficial for them compared to what they were asking for. It's like, for example, a person is given the option of, a person is given a very expensive car. He's given a BMW or a Ferrari or a Mercedes. And he says, no, I don't want this. I want three cheap Fords, for example. What is he doing? Is he going to enjoy his drive? Is he going to be able to drive faster? No. Even if he has quantity, even if he has more cars. So they wanted quantity and they did not want quality. This is what they wanted. What did Musa alayhi salam say? Allah says, قَالَ, he said. Meaning Musa alayhi salam replied, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ, do you all seek to change? تَسْتَبْدِلُونَ is from the root letters, بَدَلَمْ. بَدَلَ means to change, just as we read yesterday. فَبَدَّلَ, then he changed. تَسْتَبْدِلُونَ is that you want that it should be changed. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى, do you wish, do you seek to change that which is inferior? Do you wish to exchange that which is inferior? The word adna is from the root letters dal, noon, waw, from the word dunu. And the word dunu is used for that which is lesser, that which is lower, more inferior in its quality. The word dunya is from the same root. Why? Because dunya is inferior and lesser compared to the akhirah. Dunya, this world, is lesser. It is inferior compared to the hereafter. So he said, أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ الَّذِي هُوَ أَدْنَى, what is inferior referring to? The foods that they were demanding. بِالَّذِي, instead of that which, هُوَ خَيْد, that which is better, what is better? مَنْ and سَلْوَى. Now we see over here that although all the food that they asked for, it is beneficial, it is nutritious. I mean, leafy greens, leafy vegetables are so good for you. Cucumbers, full of water, good for you. Bread, wheat, grain, all of this stuff is good for you. But it is nothing compared to the food that they were being given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. It was lesser in its quality compared to the food that they were being given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And notice over here the response of Musa alayhi salam. أَتَسْتَبْدِلُونَ, this Hamza, this question, this is like a rebuke. So it is as if Musa alayhi salam is scolding them. He is rebuking them. How can you do this? How could you take that which is inferior instead of that which is more superior? How could you prefer the inferior over that which is superior? What are you thinking? What are you asking for? What are you doing? He's making them think. Now the question is, how is Man and Salwa better than what they asked for? In several ways. First of all, they were being given man and salwa. And what is man? Honey, something sweet. Right? And we know that honey is shifa. In the Quran, we learn about honey being shifa. It is a cure for people. Also, they were being given salwa, which is some kind of bird meat, protein. Right? So, vegetables, if you think of it, they are important, but compared to rich protein and honey, what are they? Compared to rich protein and honey, what's better? Protein and honey, right? There's shifa, and there's also proteins in it. And also remember, one of the meanings of man I told you was that according to some it refers to mushrooms, right? So Allahu alam, maybe that was a part of it. So first of all, man and salwa was better because what they were being given in its quality was indeed better. Also, man and salwa was better because man and salwa were Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to them. And Allah commanded them to eat of man and salwa. Kulu washrabu. They were commanded to eat of man and salwa. And by eating man and salwa, what were they doing? They were obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just by eating that food, they were getting reward. Just by eating that food, they were getting reward. Just imagine, eating food, you're getting rewarded for that. Another reason is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them was indeed much better and also more delicious. It was more delicious, more tasty. Also it has been said, that for them to obtain the baql and qitha and foam and adas and basal, they would have to do work in order to acquire that. Isn't it? when we did the ayahs of the muttaqeen, we studied about muflihun, the farmers. So much work they have to put in, isn't it? So they would have to undergo so much work, so much hardship to acquire all of this food. But the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending them, it was coming to them prepared from before. It's like somebody says to you, that I will give you food every day. You don't have to cook. And it's not freezer food. It's not store-bought food. It's fresh. It's delicious. It's very nutritious. It's perfect for you. Wouldn't you like that? Those of you who are mothers, who have to go home and cook, or you have to cook before coming over here, if somebody gave you that offer, what would you take? Huh? You're like, sure, why not? Of course, bring it. I'd love that. Right? If somebody gives you food every single day and you don't have to cook, and that food is also much better in its quality, in its nutritional value, obviously that food is much better. So similarly, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them entailed no work or fatigue on their part, and what they were to get themselves required all of this. And also if you think about it, the food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sending to them, there was no question about its lawfulness or its purity. Right? There was no question about that. But anything that you buy from the store, don't you have to think every time? You have to look at the ingredients. And there's always some risk involved. And it also shows rudeness on the part of the Bani Israel. They're being given food every single day, such good quality, nutritious food, and they say, no, we don't want this, we want something else. It's like somebody's offering you a very good car, a BMW, and you say, I don't want this, I want, you know, something else. So it shows, you know, foolishness on the part of the person who's making such demands. Now, why was this wrong for the Bani Israel? Some of us may wonder that, you know, what's the harm? You know, they were being given man and salwa every day. I mean, we get bored of eating the same food every day as well, isn't it? Of course we do. The thing is that Bani Israel, they had a particular purpose and a focus. They had a particular purpose for which they were chosen. They were chosen to worship Allah. They were chosen to obey Allah. They were chosen to deliver the message of Allah. If they got busy in farming, in tilling the land, in preparing the food, just busy with food, then what would happen? They would neglect their purpose. Isn't it so? Tell me, those of you who cook, when you go into the kitchen, how long does it take you to prepare the food, if it's some really nice, good food? To buy the food, prepare the food, serve the food, eat the food, clean up the mess afterwards. It takes a whole lot of time and energy from you. You have to think about it. You have to look for recipes. So many things you have to do to cook the food. So, and when you get busy in such things, what happens is that you get distracted from your main purpose. So they were told, don't worry about food, don't worry about water, just worry about your main goal, your main purpose. For example, when you're having your exams or something, what do you want? Somebody else should cook for you, isn't it? And you want to put all of your time and energy into just studying. So this is what they were told. So it shows that their focus was somewhere else. They were not focused on the deen. They were still thinking about the dunya. So what did Musa a.s. say to them? He said, "Ihbitul Misran." All of you, get down to a city. The word ihbitul is from the root letters habata, habata. We did the word hubut earlier as well, ihbitul, which literally means to get down from above, to step down from above. And over here, ihbitul Misran, get down to a city. Why is it all get down? Why is it get down? Why not go? Why get down? It shows that when they asked for that which was inferior, they became inferior. When they asked for that which was inferior, they were also told to step down, to become inferior. So they were told, ihbitul Misran. The word nisf is from the root letters mim sadra, and the word nisf is used for a city. Okay? But the word nisf is also used as a proper name of Egypt. Over here it does not mean Egypt. Just as the word Medina. Medina is used for a city. Literally it means city. But it's also used for Yathrib, Medina tun Nabi. Right? So similarly, Misr is also used for city. And Misr literally means to inhabit a city, to build a city. So Misr is a city which is inhabited. So ihbitu Misran, go down to a city, and notice the word Misran, it ends with double fatha. Whenever a word ends with double fatha, it gives a meaning of any. So any city, meaning whichever city it may be. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ. So indeed for you in that city is whatever you have asked for. The demand that they had made, which was that we want all of these vegetables and foods, it did not necessarily require a dua, which is why Musa a.s. did not make dua for them. Because all of these foods are already available in the earth. You wouldn't find them in the desert, but you would find them in other places, in cities. So they are told, why are you telling me to make dua? Just go to any city and you'll find all of these foods over there. And it also shows that Musa a.s. is upset with them. He's angry with them. As if he's saying that there is no need to make dua for this. There is no need to make dua for this. وَبُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And it was struck upon them. What was struck upon them? الذِّلَّةُ, the humiliation, وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ, and the poverty. Humiliation and poverty was struck upon them. What does it mean by it was struck upon them? You see, the word barb literally means to strike. It literally means to strike. But it also means to cover someone with something. Or to layer someone with something. For example, it is said, ضُرِبَتُ التِّينُ عَلَى الْحَائِطِ. Ha'it is a wall. ضُرِبَتُ التِّينُ عَلَى الْحَائِطِ, meaning the wall was layered with mud. The wall was layered with mud. What happens? The mud is stuck to the wall. It's not going to come off easily. So similarly, humiliation and poverty was stuck to them. And it wouldn't come off from them. It was as if it was just in their fate. They couldn't get rid of it. ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. Now what are these words, ذِلَّة and مَسْكَنَةُ? ذِلَّة is from ذَال لَام لَام. And ذِلَّة is when someone is humiliated, when someone is small in front of the other, when someone is suppressed by the other. And in particular, the word ذِلَّة is used when a person brings humiliation upon himself. You see, one is that someone is small compared to the other. He is lesser compared to the other. For example, all of us, we are small in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But ذِلَّة is when a person brings humility and disgrace upon himself by disobedience. When a person brings humiliation and disgrace upon himself, how? By disobedience. So it is to become humiliated in front of someone. So وَضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ. They became small and humiliated and lowly in front of other people. Why? Because of their own sins. Because of their disobedience. What else was stuck to them? وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ, and the poverty. مَسْكَنَةُ is from the root letters سِين كَافْ نُون. سِين كَافْ نُون. سَكَنَةُ literally means to become still. What does it mean? To become still. To become stationary. To not move. And the word مَسْكَنَةُ is used in several ways. For example, the word مَسْكَنَةُ is used for poverty. Why? Because when a person is poor, he doesn't have the money to spend, he doesn't travel much, he doesn't go shopping much, he's just still. He doesn't improve in his lifestyle. Right? So maskana, first of all, is used for poverty. Similarly, the word maskana is also used for dependence on others. When a person is completely dependent on others. Because when a person is dependent on others, he doesn't have the freedom to move around by his own will. Isn't it so? For example, if a person does not drive and he's dependent on others, can he just go around by his own will? No. He's dependent on others to take him around. So maskana is also used for dependence on others. Then the word maskana is also used for lack of courage. lack of courage. When a person is a coward, he doesn't have courage. Because even that, it doesn't give confidence to a person. A person does not take any challenges. He doesn't take any risks in his life. And he just stays in his comfort zone. Isn't it? He stays in his comfort zone. He doesn't take the extra step. So, وَضُّرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَالذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَةُ. What does it mean by maskana over here? Poverty, dependence, as well as lack of courage. All of these things were as if imposed upon the Bani Israel. Why? Because of their disobedience. So what do we learn from this? That when a person chases the dunya, when a person goes after the dunya, what does he do? He brings humiliation upon himself. When his only aim and goal becomes this world, then he brings disgrace upon himself. Allah says, وَبَاءُوا, and they returned. بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, with anger from Allah. بَاءُ is from the root letters بَا وَاو حَمْزَة. بَا وَاو حَمْزَة. بَاءُ, which means to return. So بَاءُ, they returned, they went back. بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, with anger from Allah. And بَاءَ بِ, to return with, it means to end up with something. To end up with something. You see the word ba'a? It is followed by bi. So it means to end up with something. So ba'u bighadabin min Allah, meaning they ended up with anger of Allah. What kind of anger is ghadab? We studied this in Surah Al-Fatiha. What kind of anger is ghadab? Such anger that turns into inflicting revenge or giving punishment. So ghadabin min Allah, meaning punishment from Allah. Why is that so? Allah says, ذَلِكَ, that is. Now remember that ذَلِكَ over here does not just refer to their incurring the anger of Allah upon themselves or humiliation and disgrace being upon them. But it also refers to their asking for that which is inferior. They're asking for that which is inferior. So they asked for that which was inferior. They incurred the wrath of Allah upon themselves. Why? بِأَنَّهُمْ, because indeed they كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. They used to disbelieve in the verses of Allah. They used to deny the verses of Allah. Do you remember the two types of ayat? The first type of ayat are kauni, which are to do with the creation, right? And the second type of ayat are shari, which are to do with revelation. So over here, ayat is understood in both ways. And remember the word kufr. Yakfuruna is from kufr. What does kufr mean? Disbelief. Right? But the word kufr is also used for ingratitude. Remember? The word kufr is also used for ingratitude. So over here, yakfuruna bi ayatillah is understood in two ways. First of all, it is understood as that yakfuruna, they used to deny. They used to disbelieve in. What did they deny? The ayat of Allah, meaning the verses, the revelation of Allah. When Musa a.s. brought the Torah to them, what did they say? لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَ اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We're never going to believe in this until we see Allah openly. What is that? We're never going to believe. What is that? Disbelief. So this is because they would disbelieve in the verses of Allah. Secondly, we can understand this as that this is because they were ungrateful for the ayat of Allah. And then the ayat is understood as ayat al-kawni, and it refers to all of these blessings that they were given. In these verses we've been reading, wa'id, wa'id, wa'id. And remember this favor, remember that favor, the clouds, the man and salwa, the food. They're being saved. They're crossing the sea. The water. All of this is what? Ayat al-kawni. So they were ungrateful for all of these blessings. They were ungrateful for man and salwa, which is why they asked for a variety of foods. Similarly, they were ungrateful for the favor of Allah for having saved them, which is why when they entered the city, what did they do? Instead of saying hitta, they said hinta. Instead of entering with humility, they entered with arrogance, with disobedience. فَذَٰلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And also, what did they do? وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they used to kill the prophets without any right. يَقْتُلُونَ is from قَتَلَ قَافْ تَعْلَمْ, which means to kill. And the word النَّبِيِّينَ is a plural of نَبِي. The word نَبِي is understood to be from the root letters نُون بَا وَاو. نُون بَا وَاو, which is نَبْوَة, which means an elevated place. So a نَبِي, a prophet, is called a نَبِي. Why? Because he has a very high status in the sight of Allah. He has been chosen. It is also said that the word نَبِي is from the root letters نُون بَا حَمْزَة نَبَى. Noon, ba, hamza, naba, which means special news, important news. So a nabi is who? Nabi is someone who gives important news. So they used to kill the prophets of Allah without any right. Without any right. You see over here Allah says, without any right they would kill the prophets of Allah. Could killing a prophet of Allah ever be justified? No. But over here Allah says, بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without any justification. Without any justification whatsoever to show how wrong they were in their killing of the prophets. And it is said that they didn't just kill one or two prophets. They killed many prophets. They killed Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam. They tried to kill Isa alayhi salam. So, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And why did they do that? Allah says, ذَلِكَ that. What does ذَلِكَ refer to? They're disbelieving in the ayat. They're killing the prophets. That is بِمَا عَصَوْا, because they would disobey. Who would they disobey? Allah. The messengers. They would disobey Allah. They would disobey the commands of Allah. And they would also disobey the messenger of Allah. They were told, enter the city, saying حِطَّة. What did they do? They said حِنْطَة. They disobeyed. And the word عَصَوْا is from the root letters عَيْن صَاد يَا. عَيْن صَاد يَا. مَعْصِيَة, disobedience, عِصِيَان, مَعْصِيَة. It means to leave the fold of obedience. What does it mean? To leave the fold of obedience. How does a person do that? How does a person do that? By not doing what he is commanded to do. By not doing what he is ordered to do. And it is also done by doing what a person is forbidden to do. Right? So masiyah is to leave the fold of obedience, and that is done in two ways. How? First of all, by not doing what a person is commanded to do, and secondly, by doing what a person is forbidden from doing. So that is because they disobeyed. Who did they disobey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commands that Allah gave them, they didn't obey. What Allah forbade them from doing, they did those actions. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, and they also used to transgress. The word يَعْتَدُونَ is from the root letters عَيْن دَال وَاو. عَيْن دَال وَاو. And اِعْتَدَاء is to cross the appropriate limits of something. What does it mean? It is to cross the appropriate limits of something. So وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ, and they used to exceed, they used to cross the limits. In what way? In disobedience. They didn't just disobey, but they exceeded the proper bounds of disobedience even. They went into extremes of disobedience. For example, when they were told to say حِطَّة. One is that a person doesn't say حِطَّة, and the other is that a person does not say حِطَّة, and he alters the word حِطَّة into something else. What is that? That is extreme. That is extreme in disobedience. So they didn't just disobey, but they also used to go to extremes in their disobedience. They would go into extremes when they were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, indeed those people who have believed. Who are those people who have believed? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So alladhina amanu refers to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inna alladhina amanu, who else? Walladhina hadu, as well as those people who became Jews. The word hadu is from the root letters ha, wal, dal. It is from the root letters ha, wal, dal. Hada yahudu. Hada yahudu literally means taba. What does taba mean? Tauba. What does tauba mean? To repent. Right? And what's the literal meaning of the word tauba? To stop what a person is doing and go back. So hada literally means taba, to repent, to seek forgiveness. So why are the Jews called alladina hadu? Those who hadu, meaning those who tabu, those who repented. What did they repent from? What did they repent from? Worshipping the calf. فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِيَكُمْ. Right? So الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, it refers to the Jews. Why? Because they repented from worshipping the calf. Also it is said that they are called الَّذِينَ هَادُوا because هَادُوا is from the word يَهُودَ. It is from the word يَهُودَ, who was the eldest son of Yaqub alayhi salam. Who was يَهُودَ? The eldest son of Yaqub alayhi salam. So الَّذِينَ هَادُوا, meaning those who call themselves Yahudi, those who became Jews, those who were Jews. Who does it refer to? The Ummah of Musa alayhi salam. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا refers to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. الَّذِينَ هَادُوا refers to the Ummah of Musa alayhi salam. Then Allah says, وَالنَّصَارَى, as well as the Christians. النَّصَارَى is the plural of Nasran. It is a plural of Nasran, from the root letters Nun, Sad, Ra. And the word Nasran is used for a person who is a Christian. What is this word derived from? Two meanings are given. First of all, it is said that the word Nasara is derived from the word Nusra. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. What does it mean? يُنصَرُونَ. They will be helped. So Nusra means help. Why are they called Nasara? Because they said they were the Ansarullah. Isa alayhi salam, he asked his disciples, who is going to be my helper? And what did the disciples say? That we will be your helpers. So this is why they were called Nasara. It is also said that the word Nasara is derived from the word Nasira. It is derived from the word Nasira, which is Nazareth, the city of Nazareth, where Isa alayhi salam was born. So that's why they call themselves Nasara. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى. Who are the Nasara? The Christians, the followers of, or those who are the believers in Isa alayhi salam. Moreover, Allah says, وَالصَّابِئِينَ, and the Sabians. Have you heard of this word before? Very few of you have. The word صَابِئِينَ is a plural of the word صَابِئ. صَابِئ. From the root letters, Sad Ba Hamza. Sad Ba Hamza. The word Sabi is from Saba'a, and Saba'a literally means to leave. What does it mean? To leave. Now, the Arabs, if any person left his original faith, if any person left his religion, they would call him a Sabi. Why? Because he left. Saba'a means to leave. Sabi', one who leaves. What does he leave? He leaves his religion, meaning the religion of his forefathers, the religion of his parents, the religion of his family. Okay? So Sabi' is used for someone who has left his original religion and has adopted another one. The Meccans, they would call the Muslims Sabi'een as well. Okay? The people of Mecca, they would call the Muslims Sabi'een as well. Why? Because they had left the religion of their forefathers and adopted a new religion. This is the literal meaning of the word Sabi'. It is also said that the word Sabi' is not an Arabic word. So you cannot say that it has a root. It's not an Arabic word, so you cannot say that it has a root. And the word Sabi' is used for, it's a term that is used for a particular people. Which people are they? There is a difference of opinion. Some say that it refers to the believers in Yahya alayhi salam. It refers to who? Those people who believed in Yahya alayhi salam. And it is said that they are still present today in Iraq. And they are called the Mandaeans. And they are called Sabi or Subba by the locals even. They are called the Mandaeans, and they are around 60 to 70,000 in their number even today. Mandaeans, M-A-N-D-A-E-A-N-S. They are present in Iraq, and they are called Subba or Sabi by the locals. Qatada radhiyallahu anhu, he said that Sabi'een are a people who read the Zabur. What is a Zabur? The book that was given to Dawud alayhi salam. So there are people who read the Zabur, but they worship the angels. What do? They worship the angel. Ibn Kathir said that they are the followers of Yahya alayhi salam. And Imam Abu Hanifa, he considered them to be people of the book. Some consider them to be a subgroup of the people of the book. Because people of the book are who? The Jews and the Christians. But they also include Sabi'een along with them. So Allah says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ. What about them? All of these groups, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ummah of Musa alayhi wa sallam, the Ummah of Isa alayhi wa sallam, the Ummah of Yahya alayhi wa sallam. From all of these groups, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, whoever believes in Allah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and he also believes in the last day. But moreover, he does one more thing. What is that? وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and he does righteous deeds. He also does righteous deeds. So what does it mean? That he doesn't just believe, he doesn't just belong to a particular group, but he also does righteous deeds. There is a criteria that is being set over here. So such people, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ, for them their reward is عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, it is with their Lord. The word ajr is from the root letters hamza jim ra, and ajr is used for a wage that is given for a work that a person does. You can say it's like paycheck, a wage that a person is given for the work that he has done. So they will have their wage, their reward in the rabbihim, with their Lord. When? Where? In the hereafter. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, and there will be no fear upon them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, nor will they grieve. Remember the meaning of khawf? It's fear about the future. And the word huzn is used for regret. The sorrow, the feeling of sadness that a person has upon losing something beloved in the past. It's a feeling of regret. So what does this ayah tell us? One thing that we have to remember over here is that this ayah is not telling us what iman is. Okay? Because many times when people read this ayah, they say, look, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, that's it. So if any person believes in Allah in the last day, that's enough, he will go to Jannah. But they forget the other parts of the Qur'an. You cannot just choose one ayah, take it out of context and say, any person who believes in Allah in the last day, he is fine. This ayah is not describing what iman is. What this ayah is telling us is that no matter what group a person belongs to, it doesn't matter unless and until he has the correct belief and he also does righteous deeds. No matter what group a person belongs to, it doesn't matter. Condition is what? What matters? The correct belief and righteous actions. Because of Bani Israel, they were very proud of their lineage, of the fact that they were the children of the prophets, that Musa alayhi salam was their prophet. Similarly, we Muslims were very proud of the fact that we belong to the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we forget about our actions. So this ayah is telling us that, okay, group is important, but more important than that is iman and righteous actions. And it also shows the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous verse, we studied about the end of the Yahud, that they ended up with the anger of Allah, humiliation and poverty and maskana, all of these things were forced upon them. Why? Because of their own wrongdoing. But was everybody like that? No. All of the Bani Israel was not like that, which is why Allah says that whoever believes and does righteous deeds, even from among the Yahud, they will have no fear, no regret. What do? When we look at one bad aspect of one person, we generalize. Isn't it so? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Where the corrupt are mentioned, the righteous are also mentioned. Where the punishment for the corrupt is mentioned, the reward for the righteous is also mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Allah says in the Quran that أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Never will I allow to be lost the work of any worker among you, whether male or female. So we learn from this ayah that salvation, success, is not achieved by just belonging to a particular group. It is not achieved by just belonging to a particular group. But rather, it is achieved how? By iman and amal. Faith and action, both of them. Faith includes the actions. But in particular, amila saliha, he also does good deeds, righteous deeds. And remember, righteous deeds are those deeds which are done sincerely for the sake of Allah, and they're also done according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, or according to the way that a particular people were prescribed to do so. Also we learn from this ayah the reward for iman and action. The reward for faith and action. And what is that reward? لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. No fear will there be upon them, nor will there be any grief. Also look at the word ajr. What is the word ajr used for? What is the meaning of the word ajr? Wage, right? Pay. When do you get it? After working. So, amana billah wa amila saliha. If there is amal, then the person will get the wage. And also we think of it, when a person does something and he deserves a wage for it, the wage is guaranteed, isn't it? I mean, it's understood. If he's doing something, he is going to get his pay. It would be unjust if he's not given a pay. Similarly, a person who believes and does righteous deeds, his reward is promised. It's an ajr. It is as if Allah is making it mandatory upon himself to give the ajr. Just as it is mandatory upon anyone to give the wage to the worker. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Let's listen to the recitation.
وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نَصْبِرَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ وَاحِدٍ فَادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُخْرِجْ لَنَا مِمَّا تُنْبِتُ الْأَرْضُ مِنْ بَقْلِهَا وَقِثَّائِهَا وَفُومِهَا وَعَدَسِهَا وَبَصَلِهَا قال أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت عليهم الذلة والمسكنة وباءوا بغضب من الله ذلك بأنهم كانوا يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير الحق ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون إن الذين آمنوا والذين هادوا والنصارى والصابئين من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وعمل صالحا فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.